are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz. With the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And speaking of fantasy, we do have a DraftKings divisional round lineup for you. And I like this lineup. I also like the lineup of guests that we have on the program today. Steve Merrill's going to join us. Paul Bovey will join us. Pat Mayo will join us. And you know what? All three of them are talking about the same damn thing. NFL playoff football. We break it down. No monologue. My feet hurts. All right? So I'm going to come back with the guest coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Yes, we are aware we are in the bunker, Studio B, due to various travel situations. But nevertheless, we don't miss a beat. Steve Merrill joins us every Friday. Steve Merrill joins us this Friday. We got Pat Mayo. We got Paul Bovey. We're talking football. Let's break it down. Let's bring in ProSportsInfo.com and one of the coverage experts, Steve Merrill. Steve, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, we got the divisional playoff round. Last week, favorites pretty much swept the board, across the board. They did, 4-0 straight up and against the spread. Totals were a split, yet we have a higher level and quality of football teams playing this weekend.
No question about it, and it's a little unusual to see the home teams go a perfect 4-0 in the wild card round. We've seen a lot of road teams win over the years, and the reason being is that with the new format, you've got the divisional teams automatically getting the home game against wild card teams that are often better teams. I actually thought the Giants were a good play on Sunday. I know you agreed it was looking pretty good in the first half. Just couldn't put the ball in the end zone, and then they kind of fell apart. Oakland would have beaten Houston had, you know, Derek Carr been in the lineup. Of course, they probably wouldn't have been the 5 seed either in that situation. So it's a little bit of an unusual spot to see the home teams go 4-0. Historically, over the past several decades, the home teams usually dominate now in this round because they all have byes. And it's a tremendous advantage historically. However, over the last decade or so with this current format, we've seen the road teams do a lot better here in general. So it'll be interesting to see if home teams continue that dominance this week or if we see it, you know, revert back to where the wild card winners aren't necessarily as weak as they used to be back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, Steve. And I've noticed, I noticed the same thing as well, in which... And also, it's kind of, you know, there's always multiple, there's multiple layers to this stuff. But like you said, historically, you know, like the teams, you know, the one seeds, they're going to do well coming off the bye at home. And in fact, the three straight years, actually, that the top seed in both conferences actually made the Super Bowl never happened four times in a row in the modern playoff era, so to speak. Never happened four times in a row. So they are having success straight up, Steve, but against the spread, you're right. Used to be a dominant thing. All right, the teams, whatever, a couple of teams would win wild card weekend and then come crashing down to earth when they played a powerful division winner the following week. But as you stated, since 2006, what is it, 16-25-1 against the spread teams off this bye?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the Cowboys didn't sit their starters back in Week 16 on that Monday nighter against the Lions. They had nothing to play for. They'd already locked up the number one seed and home field advantage after Week 15. They decided to play their starters in Week 16. They, of course, rested them in Week 17 against the Eagles. But they didn't want to sit them in Week 16 against Detroit because then they would have been off for three straight weeks when you factor in last week's bye. I think teams are worried about the rust factor, and it's something that usually never happened back in the 80s and 90s. And I think one of the reasons, Gabe, is two reasons, actually. First of all, with the old five-team format that you and I grew up with, you know, these number one seeds were playing a wild card winner. They weren't necessarily playing a divisional winner like the Green Bay Packers, like the Cowboys have to. And, you know, of course, the Patriots play the Texans. They're another divisional winner. But the other reason as well, back in the 80s and 90s, the running games dominated the NFL, and all the power teams like the Cowboys, Giants, Redskins, they had powerful running games. And when you have a couple weeks off, you don't lose that smash-mouth approach. When you have a high-precision passing attack like all these teams have now, you see that rust factor kick in after a couple weeks.
That's a very good point, which leads us into the Atlanta Falcon game. I'm seeing as high as 5 points right now as of our conversation. Steve, Atlanta has that juggernaut of an offense, but it's almost like a college football team in a bowl game that hasn't played in 3 or 4 weeks. Steve, you never really know. We see even the most efficient offenses can struggle. Atlanta have been so prolific. I don't think this bye hurts them that much, but the number getting up to 5 right now is getting out of control, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons were only really off for 1 week because they had to play hard still against New Orleans in that season finale. They put up 38 points.
Good point. They needed that game to lock down the home field. You're right. So you're right. They played strong to the end.
And they're still at home as well. You know, they're always a good team in the dome. I don't think the rust will be too much of a factor here. Even in the regular season, I always talk about the bye as kind of a contrarian indicator, meaning that, you know, if a team struggled going into the bye, it's a good thing. If they're playing well, they don't need the bye. Falcons' offense is definitely clicking. They put up 33 points or more in five of their final six games this year. 1 week off remaining at home probably isn't a big deal for them. Seattle, difficult road trip here for the Seahawks, don't forget, because they had to play at home last week, and now they travel cross-country with no rest. They've been on the West Coast for quite a while, actually. The last time they traveled was the December 11th game at Green Bay.
I was thinking about that, Steve. These son of a bitches catch a little bit of a break, too, that is at 4:35 Eastern. Too bad it wasn't one of those 1 o'clock starts from Atlanta's perspective.
Yeah, their only other road game since December 11th is at San Fran on New Year's Day, and they barely won that game, of course, by 2 points. So they have not been a good road team this year, as we've talked about quite often.
No, I know. You can make arguments for both teams in this game. Should be some points on the board in this one, though, Steve. I like the over of this game.
You know, it's only the fourth road game they've had in nearly 2 months, and the third road game before those last two was that Tampa game when they put up 5 points, did not score an offensive touchdown.
They're a terrible road team.
That's the concern.
They scored 6 points at Arizona earlier this year in that tie game.
And at home it was a 34-31 loss.
And you mentioned
points.
It. Colin Kaepernick averaged 9.8 yards per pass play against them. Colin Kaepernick, he didn't average 9 yards against anybody, against anything. In a hell of a long time, this guy. He went up and down the field on them. I think Atlanta wins. We talked about this with Cam earlier. I think Atlanta wins, but I'm not in a hurry to lay to five. New England, they opened up. It's in the 16 range. It's only been three times that a team has been 16-point favorites in the playoffs. All three times, they're 3-0. Straight up and against the spread. The number's always been justified. You know, the thing with Houston, you and I talk about this all the time, when you're taking an underdog double digits, you know, you're looking at an offensive team, like a guy like, you know, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They'll just keep chucking it and chucking it to the end, the final whistle, etc. No backdoor potential with the Houston Texans. That's the problem. Their offense is just too anemic. If they get down, they can't come back. Normally, I don't want to lay 15.5, Steve, but I don't see how the Texans hang in this game.
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday's show. The Texans are a terrible offensive team. In fact, over the last 80 years, they are the worst touchdown-per-game team in playoff history. They average only about 1.5 touchdowns per game this season offensively. That's the lowest number since the 1930s when the Giants made the playoffs doing so. I think they were like 1.3. The Texans are like 1.4, 1.6 or something. So they're really bad. And on the road this year, they're barely averaging over 14.5 points a game. So, you know, I don't see them winning this game, obviously. So the question becomes, can they hang within the two touchdowns? And I don't want to ask a team that can't score to try to get the backdoor cover. And New England has a tendency to really dominate weaker teams when the spotlight is on. And you figure with the week off, New England will be ready to play. We saw that in the Miami game. They had to lock up the number one seed. They win by 21. They get that revenge win against the Jets the week before by 38. Hard to imagine the Patriots won't be focused since this is a playoff game.
A lot of line movement with the Pittsburgh and the Kansas City game, and bouncing around all week here. Ben's walking around in a boot. So what, man? This guy would play with a bullet lodge in his shoulder. So, compared to last year, they're real healthy, this team. Le'Veon Bell, that was his first playoff game last week, and clearly not overwhelmed, Steve, by the fact that it was a playoff game. You look at Kansas City, and, you know, they're scoring 24 points a game. They're giving up 19 points per game. The numbers are very similar. Pittsburgh score 25. They give up 20, actually. But Pittsburgh are healthy right now, and they've been on a roll for the last month and a half or so. A tough, tough game here, but Kansas City, man, that home field isn't as dominant as it used to be, Steve. They lost to Tampa. They lost to Tennessee. A Jacksonville game, all that it can handle. The Saints hung with them there. You know, tough game. Make an argument for both sides. I like Pittsburgh, though.
Well, you do talk about the bye week. This is one of those situations where I think Kansas City has a little edge up with the bye. You know, they're going to be a healthier team. As you mentioned, Roethlisberger will play, but he's banged up. And the thing that worries me here with Pittsburgh is that, kind of like Seattle, they've been a much weaker road team over the years. And you look at Roethlisberger, Tony, all those guys, Brown, they all put up bigger numbers at home for some reason. Arrowhead, not the hostile environment it used to be in the 80s and 90s, but it's still a tough road venue. Problem is, I'm not a big believer in the Chiefs, as you know, Gabe. I've talked about it quite often. I think they're a bit of an overrated 12-4 team. They got thoroughly outplayed in that Sunday night at the end of November at Denver that they won. Probably were fortunate to win that Atlanta game right after that.
That's a good point.
So I've been looking for a reason to fade him.
You're in the stats guy, and you know a lot of people. Some people aren't, but like you know, sharper coppers are you know in the stats. The Chiefs like them. They've been killed in the stats, haven't they?
Well, yeah, the problem, though, is like Pittsburgh's the most underdog public dog of the week. Over 55% of the public is on Pittsburgh here as a dog. You know, that's always a red flag for me. So I've been waiting for spots to go against Kansas City. I just really haven't had a lot of great ones. I like the Pittsburgh offense. I think their defense is still shaky. Could be a higher scoring game than expected if Kansas City can put some points up.
That's a good point. Pretty low total, actually, for teams between these, the caliber here. And KC can score if they have to. Tyreek Hill's a big X factor in this football game. Total's 44 points. In this contest, and it leads us into the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Interesting tidbit that I saw in Lawrence's playbook that I was unaware of, actually, that the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants have played each other 7 times in playoff history, and whoever won that playoff game went on to win the championship after the fact all the time. Like, and I knew that because remember Eli, we kept talking about, oh yeah, it's 2 Super Bowls. He went through Lambeau to do it, but I didn't realize, and this doesn't include just Super Bowls, but like NFL championship games as well.
Right.
Interesting dynamic there. And can Dak Prescott, can they beat the Packers 2 times in a season? Is a rookie quarterback going to beat Aaron Rodgers and cover 5 points in the postseason? Like, you know, we're talking about, we don't know what we're going to get from the Falcons a little bit. We don't know what we're going to get from the Cowboys either.
I think there's a. I mean, Dallas doesn't feel like a real locked-in one seed. You know, the Patriots seem like a legitimate one seed. Obviously, it's their Super Bowl to lose. Everything's kind of be handed to them this year with everyone else being mediocre. But, yeah, I mean, if the roles were reversed here and Green Bay was at home, I wouldn't be surprised to feel like they're the one seed. Dallas only lost 3 games all season. One of them was when they rested their starters against Philly. The other 2 losses both came against the Giants. They would have played the Giants had they beaten Green Bay last week. So you almost got to wonder, is Dallas glad they're playing Green Bay? I think either way, this is going to be a tough game for the Cowboys. Green Bay, such a Jekyll and Hyde team this season. It's the one that their final 7 games in a row here after pretty much looking like they were eliminated from the playoff hunt. In fact, they started the year 3-1. They lost that Dallas game. They went 1-5 straight up that 6-game span, which started with the Dallas loss, and now they've run off 7 in a row. So they're playing better football now than they did when they lost to Dallas earlier. Still not sold on this Green Bay defense, though. I think both teams will get a lot of points here. The over is very high, though. It's 52.5 now. By the way, I misspoke. Pittsburgh, not the most public dog. Over 60% of the public on Green Bay this week. Pretty unusual to see that many of the public going against a one seed with rest.
Interesting. And yeah, and even without Jordy Nelson, too.
Yeah.
Unless Jordy Nelson is some sort of miracle, right? And he shows up. I remember I'm old enough, Steve. We were talking about earlier in the week, actually, with Mike Cardano, Dan Pastorini in the flak jacket. Remember that game? It was Houston Oilers and Pittsburgh Steelers. Bad call in the end zone. And that was the first ever game with the flak jacket. But, yeah, you know, as of this taping, you know, with Nelson out, it would, seems to be a problem. But Dallas's secondary isn't great. Like you said, there should be some points put up on the board. Weather won't be a factor here. There's going to be points. You're going to have to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you need to win 30 points to win this game.
Well, I would think if you're going to beat Green Bay the way they've been playing right now, you would need 30 or more because Green Bay has put up 30 or more in 5 straight games now offensively.
Yeah.
You know, they're really clicking. I do think Nelson's loss could hurt them a little bit, and they're on the road here without rest. But Aaron Rodgers is the key. I mean, there's just something magic about that guy. And I know the Hail Marys are kind of fluky, but then again, you see him do
times,
this stuff
yeah.
so often, you're starting to wonder at this point, you know?
Yeah, hard not to like Rodgers +4.5, like, in this spot. I'm surprised it hasn't come down, actually, because like you said, it seems like everybody likes them so much. All right, so we encourage people to check out. And Steve's got write-ups and previews on the Covers Experts page over at covers.com. As well as prosportsinfo.com. Steve, it's always a pleasure. We'll speak on Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Always a pleasure breaking it down with Merrill. Paul Bovey's up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the program. The Pat Mayo makes his return after a couple of week absence to talk some fantasy football, and we'll get Pat Mayo's picks for the wild card games that are rapidly approaching. Paul Bovey. You can find Paul over at VegasInsider.com. You can find him on Twitter over at Paul Bovey. Paul, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing?
Doing great, Gabe. How you doing, buddy?
You know what? Day by day, man. Day by day. I'm hoping we can make some money this weekend with some of these NFL divisional round games. There's been a lot of live movement throughout the week, Paul. I mean, sometimes our fantasy interest and our betting interest aren't always correlated, but it's interesting because NFL.com has a playoff fantasy league. And basically, you draft a team, and you can take whoever you want every week. There's no draft or anything. You can just everybody can pick whoever the hell they want. But the key is, you get double points and triple points and quadruple points as they advance. So if your player makes it to the Super Bowl, you're getting four times whatever fantasy points he puts up. So essentially, it's a cool format, Paul, because it's part fantasy, but it's part future betting. Because if you don't get the teams in the Super Bowl, or at least one of the teams in the Super Bowl with a lot of players, you're going to be screwed. So, long story short, basically everybody in the pool always takes Tom Brady, and they stack it with New England Patriots. I thought outside the box, and I told people that I thought that the Atlanta Falcons were a value play at plus 900 to get to the Super Bowl, and similarly, I said the Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 900. They were both plus 900. So I gave the Steelers and the Falcons as my futures on the show, and I was like, man, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, at least in this fantasy league. So I took nothing but Steelers and Falcon players. But now the games are approaching, I'm getting a little bit worried. The money just keeps coming in on the Falcons, though, Paul. What's your take on this game?
My take on the Falcons is, look, they should win the game. You know how I feel about Seattle. Their offense, to me, I'm not going to say it's non-existent, but it's definitely an underperforming offense.
It's spotty.
Go back to that first game.
It's spotty, their offense. You're right. And even that, you know, they went for it on fourth down against Detroit, Paul. They throw the ball again. You know, they always have this problem. They can't score. And they got damn lucky with a circus catch and a fact that they didn't call offensive pass interference as well. He was grabbing the Lions' helmet as well. It went both ways. And, you know, it's funny. They won the game by 20 or whatever it was. But, yeah, they weren't that impressive, were they?
They weren't impressive. And if you look at Seattle's statistics passing-wise, Green Bay was horrendous against the pass this year, and Seattle was one of their better performances. Now, was it Seattle just not playing up to par, or was it Green Bay's defense? No, it was Seattle. They struggled with Tampa Bay. They struggled with Seattle. They struggled last week. It wasn't a promising performance offensively, except for Rawls, who before those that performance last week, his last 49 carries, he had picked up like 130 yards. So all of a sudden they found this running game, made it easy on him, and I don't think they're going to get that success or have that success this week. But do you really want to lay five and a half points with an Atlanta Falcon team that just seems to do things wrong, or they shoot themselves in the foot, just like they did in that earlier matchup this year when they had a 24-17 lead.
Yep.
Julio Jones lets a pass slip through his arms, Seattle scores, and Atlanta manages to lose that game.
There was a bad call late that wasn't called, but you're right. And that's my concern here, because I think Atlanta's going to win this game. I'm not in a big hurry to be laying 5, 5.5 here. And the fact of the matter is, Russell Wilson has 9 playoff wins already in his career. Matt Ryan's been around a while. He's won one playoff game, ironically enough, against Seattle years ago in Russell Wilson's rookie year. 1-4 straight up, 0-4 against the spread, 0-4-1 against the spread in 5 playoff games is Matt Ryan. But with that being stated, I'm with you. I just don't think Seattle's that great. And you mentioned all those flubs. They put 6 points up on the road in Arizona. They put 5 points up on the road and with a safety. So they scored a field goal. They didn't score a damn touchdown against the Rams on the road. There were multiple times they didn't even score touchdowns on the road this year. And to me, that secondary, they're kind of bullies. Like, yeah, good for you, Sherman. You're hot-dogging and you're flexing and good. Yeah, you smoked Jared Goff, you know what I mean? But I think it's almost like Alabama. Like, if you're an aggressive quarterback and you have a good quarterback and playmakers and you attack them, you can make plays. And I think Atlanta can make plays here.
I think they can make plays, but let's be realistic. When Atlanta steps onto that football field, they're going to be a little tight. They're going to be a little psyched out here.
I know.
Knowing their record in previous years, plus they're going up against the Seattle Seahawks, who have pedigree and who they lost to early in the year.
They got a playoff aura about them. I know. And you're right. There's interesting, too. Could be the last ever game at the Georgia Dome. It's just a little dynamic. It's actually the 200th Falcon game at the Georgia Dome this weekend. Yet, I said before the playoffs started that the Falcons and the Packers were going to play each other. So I'm sticking with the Falcons. I think the Packers can upset the Dallas Cowboys. But let's get to the Patriots and the Texans. Monster number here, Paul. Guys like you and me generally are going to want to try to talk ourselves into taking points like this, but history says otherwise. Only three times have we had a point spread of 16 or higher in the NFL playoffs, and every time the favorite covered and rolled. I don't want to repeat myself, guys, this week, but we brought it up with the Texans. Not a lot of backdoor potential with the Houston Texans. Great defense, but I mean, hell, even if they lose 24-7 and their defense plays their asses off, they still don't cover the number.
I don't mess with games like this, Gabe, because when I take a dog, I'm taking them because I feel they have a chance at winning the football game. Now, obviously, New England is going to win this football game. And the last time they played, of course, the Patriots had a backup quarterback play, and this time they have Tom Brady. The defense for the Texans did a decent job last time, but unfortunately, Osweiler facing basically the same defense this time, 24 of 41, 196 yards. That's been his MO. He's going to throw short, and there were a couple turnovers in this game which led to Patriots scores. Short drives of 20 and 22 yards, but of course you got Tom Brady in there this time. Can you really expect Houston to score more than 13 to 14 points here? No.
Yeah, I know. You're right. It's Patriots or pass. We've been saying, if you have it in you and you don't mind laying it, then go ahead. Obviously, you're not going to find a lot of sharps like Bovey that want to lay double digits. But as we mentioned, it's only happened three times before in modern NFL playoff history that teams have been 16-point favorites. This came down to 15, 15 and a half. But they are 3-0 straight up and against the spread in this position, which leads us to a pretty big-time football game here in which, you can make a long argument for both teams here. It pretty much comes down to who do you believe in more. A lot of people always think Kansas City are sort of suspect. I don't. I think Alex Smith is a good quarterback. Tyreek Hill has brought an element of speed and dynamicness that they just haven't had in the past before. But with that being stated, the Steelers are red hot right now. They're never healthy in the playoffs. It's the first time that, I know Ben's a little banged up, but he'll be fine. You got a healthy Le'Veon Bell. Brown's a monster. Their defense has been getting better, actually. Their linebackers are healthier right now. Pittsburgh's defense has been playing better down the stretch. I do like Pittsburgh, but it's a tough game. I'm not. Who's kidding who?
It's a game I'm not going to be on again because of looking back at that first game. Now, on the surface, I like Kansas City. I think they're a better football team. But when you go back to that earlier meeting, this season, I think it was 43-14.
Yeah.
Ben, 22-27, 300. Bell ran 18 times for 144 yards. Some teams just have it over another team, and you wonder if the Steelers just have Kansas City's number here. So it's very hard for me to go against that.
Yeah, it's hard to be one of laying. It's up to 1.5. It's been bouncing around, man, all week long. All right, now we got the marquee game of the week. Oh, they're all marquee, yet it doesn't get much bigger than the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. All these games are rematches, and of course, this was earlier in the year. I think it was week four, but this was pretty much the game was a week four. Week four, Dallas. No, it was a little later. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it was week six. So the sixth game, that's sort of when people started to buy in to Dak Prescott a little bit. They came off the Bengals victory. They took they beat the Bengals in Dallas. Then they went into Green Bay, but that was sort of the beginning of Green Bay's slide a little bit. is Dak Prescott, a rookie quarterback, going to beat Aaron Rodgers twice in the same year? And you'd be hard-pressed to say that Aaron Rodgers has played better football than he has over the last 7 weeks right now. Guy hasn't thrown interceptions since mid-November.
You look at the Dallas Cowboys at home. I don't believe they scored less than 26 points except for that opener against the Giants. And, of course, you could throw in that Eagle game because they had 23 in regulation. You look at Green Bay. They have had some eye-popping stretches of pass defense ineptitude. Cousins, Mariota, Luck, and Ryan in the middle of the season lit them up for 153 points, 91 of 127 for almost 1,300 yards. Then a little bit of a breather, and then they went through a three-week stretch. Stafford, Bradford, and Barkley, 90 of 134 for 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
They have no pass defense.
And they got lucky last week, actually, too, because if those jerk losers that went boating, those loser giant wide receivers actually catch a damn ball, maybe that game's different, too.
I agree, Gabe. But, you know, give them a little bit of maybe an excuse here because it was frigid temperatures. So some of those balls that maybe they would haul in slipped off the fingers. Okay, I'm not going to chalk that up to a boating trip 5 days earlier. It's just that the Giants had little in the way of a running game, as has been the case the entire year. But I'm not going to let that dissuade me from thinking that basically Green Bay, in order to win this football game, is going to have to outscore Dallas. Now, I jumped on the over Sunday night and Monday. I got some at 51 with a buy down, some at 51.5. But I'm into this heavily because I just don't see these football teams stopping each other.
I like where you're going with this. I like the over of this football game as well. Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. And you can follow him at Twitter, at Paul Bovey. Great insight as always, Paul. We'll catch up next week. And
we'll talk
some NBA and some NFL. We'll be down to the conference championship games next week. So it sounds to me like your biggest plays, the Packers and the Cowboys to the over. That's the one you like the most.
Absolutely, Gabe. I think this number should be 54.5 to 55. Probably reaches 54 by Sunday.
Interesting. Steve Merrill joined us earlier, and he said this game's going to be a track meet. Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. Look forward to catching up next week, bro.
Thank you, Gary.
There's Paul Bovey with us, VegasInsider.com. And speaking of getting caught up, Pat Mayo will join us in studio. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. Thanks to Steve Merrill and Paul Bovey for joining us on the program. We welcome back a regular contributor and guest every Friday, except it's been a little while, man. The holidays and into the new year, scheduling conflicts.
Sometimes you're just not here, and that happens to me.
Sometimes there's miscellaneous, miscellaneous reasons. Yes.
It happens.
Yeah, stuff happens, all right? But nevertheless, we got Pat Mayo back this week. NFL divisional round. Pat, what's your take on the games this week? You impressed with what's set to come?
I got a bad feel for these games. Like last week, I picked the Dolphins to cover. Like I did a straight up picks and then a spread picks. Picked the Packers to win, Giants to cover. Picked Steelers to win, Miami to cover. And I picked Seattle to win, Lions to cover. I should have just went with the teams I picked to win.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to do that this week.
We know this too. We've talked about this, about how the point spreads don't mean anything this year.
No, not at all. Just if I think they're going to win, just
take it. Actually a good example, good point actually, because this week I've been talking about this a lot. Now I think the Falcons are going to win.
Me too.
But I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle won. And would you be shocked that Green Bay won?
I would say that the majority of people are picking Green Bay to win that game, if I had to guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. In fact, it's up to 60%. Merrill's an anti-consensus guy. 60% of covers players are playing the Steelers.
60%, that can flip,
and the Packers, excuse me, but the Steelers are the second choice, so like 55%.
I would say that would even go up as we get closer and closer, because what's the last game? The last game is Packers-Dallas.
Yeah.
So you have to factor in, too, that after I lose my money Saturday and then lose my money on the early game, I'm going to go in hard on the Packers to win, probably on the money line to try to double my money.
You know, everyone, it's never a good time to lose, but you can can always argue. So if there's four games like last week, I lost the last game. I did well, Pat. I won all three. I lost one little teaser, but for the most part, I was like, ah, oh, they'll cover. Detroit suck on the road. Ah, oh, Houston's a free play. All right, you know what I mean? Then I rolled in. I had Pittsburgh. I laid the points, hit a teaser. But then I sort of loaded up because I actually really liked the Giants.
Me too.
That I was doing crossovers. I was like, Pittsburgh Steeler, New York Giant teaser. So I'm like, I got the Giants at plus 12. I got the Giants at plus 11.5. And then right before kickoff, Pat, I'm like, well, I got the Giants plus 11.5 and a plus 12. Why don't I just take a little plus 4.5 then? I can hit them both. Didn't hit any of them, Pat, and I ruined my whole weekend because of it.
It happens. Yeah, I think the point here is just don't load up.
Yeah, it's true. Bet the same amount on every single game.
You'll be a lot better off. And like,
it's a lot harder. It's a lot easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. And weirdly enough, the more and more time I work here, the worse and worse I am getting at it because I want some action on the stuff. Like when I showed up day one,
I was
very strict, and I won a lot more money betting on football.
That's what happens when you sit in a room with me and Cam.
It is.
You get dumber.
It's terrible news. I used to have great self-control. I'd be like, here's my budget for the week. Here's what I'm betting on each of the games. I'm not going to play any parlays because parlays are absolute killers. But, you know, I hit one parlay this year, a big one, like week two. And I was like, well, I'm going to hit a parlay every week. This is perfect. And I started blowing all my money on parlays.
But one thing, Pat, it is hard. Like, doing what we do and not gambling.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's like being a bartender and not drinking.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like you're a Coke dealer and you can't. Yeah. You can't.
No, I feel like that one goes the other way. If you're a Coke dealer.
You're right. Coke dealer, you know.
I see my customers. Yeah, I can't do this.
No, you're right.
It's like if I was the book, I wouldn't be betting.
But it happens to me too. And I tell people, and then I get ripped for it. I'm supposed to get picks on Game Time Decision.
But I'm not going to play those picks.
Yeah. Like, and exactly. And another thing is, every damn day of the year, Pat, that I'm on, there's not always going to be great locks on the board.
No.
Right? So I tell people, this is what's going on tonight. You know, this is my opinion on the game tonight. But as you stated, you end up getting in on it, right?
And on stuff you don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah, and you're even like, oh, I gave people this golf lineup, so I better play it to see if it comes through. Yeah. And it never ends, right?
It's a horrible, horrible cycle. So this week, I like the Falcons.
Right, you're going to lay 5 points, up to 5 points now.
Yeah, I actually think that by the time this game comes around, it's the first game on Saturday?
That's the first game, 4:30 Eastern Saturday.
By the time this gets around, I really feel like people are going to start piling on the Seahawks. People are,
it'll be a little buyback.
They're already talking up the Seahawks. Oh, did you see how good the Seahawks looked against the crappy Lions? Well, how could they be beat now? People forget, this defense is good on the ground. But since Earl Thomas has been out, it's been bad.
Kaepernick at 9.8 yards per play.
Which is stunning.
Carson Palmer went into Seattle, went up and down the field at the end of the year. He's terrible.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's really good.
Yeah,
Matt Ryan's
right.
Probably going to be the MVP. And people are discounting, like even from like a DraftKings perspective.
Well, they're all like, oh, he's a choker. Yeah, DraftKings is $7,000. I like him.
He's my quarterback this week. Like, he's the guy I'm going with. And even when they played the Seahawks in the playoffs like 2 years ago and they beat them.
They beat him. Matt Ryan's only playoff win is that game.
He threw 250, three touchdowns, and two picks. And that's when Seattle's defense was a whole lot better.
You know what Seattle is, and you talk a lot of MMA with Cody and with Shag. In which you'll get these fighters, Pat, they beat up crappy fighters, and you're like, oh, this guy looks great. And then they get against a good fighter, oh, they got taken down. That's Seattle. I said this earlier, Sherman's flexing, and oh, he's talking trash on Twitter because he lit up Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you smoke Goff, or you know, how many times did they go on the road and not score a touchdown? Rams, no touchdown. Went on the road against Tampa, no touchdown. Arizona, no touchdowns.
Here are the two big X factors for me in this game. One, Vic Beasley is going to get to Russell Wilson. That's a bad offensive line. Detroit had no
answer.
Detroit had no one to get to Russell Wilson. And they were even still getting to him. They had no pass rush. So Vic Beasley from the edge is going to get to him. And two, the big thing that Atlanta does with Julio Jones, they move him around so much pre-snap that you cannot stick Sherman on him.
Yeah.
He's going to be wide open for the majority of this game. And people are discounting the Falcons. And I've discounted the Falcons all season. It was stupid on my part.
Lethal backfield too, Pat, with Freeman and Coleman coming
and
out of
there. And where is Seattle weak? They're weak at the seams. They're weak with little dump-offs.
Yeah.
Both of their running backs are excellent pass catchers. We saw Coleman in the first game go to Matt Ryan has already gone in to Seattle this year.
Went up and down the field
and played awesome.
I think it was 335 yards.
So all that said, if Seattle wins this game, if they get up early, they're excellent front runners. They play much better with the lead. I just think Seattle, I just think Atlanta wins, so I don't care what the number is. I'm just going to pick Atlanta.
It's been happening all week, though. We were going to talk all four games, and we start the first game. We always talk about the first game for like 7 minutes. We got to rush through the next.
Pats to cover.
Yeah. And we brought
this
up, guys.
I don't like it, but I'm playing it.
I know, but the thing is, there's no backdoor potential for Houston.
No.
This is the fourth time in NFL history, as I've been telling you guys, only three times before this as a team opened up as a 16-point favorite in the NFL playoffs. They're 3-0 straight up and against the spread in this
situation.
There's
a reason that they're 15-point favorites.
Exactly.
Houston's terrible.
Yeah.
All right,
Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
I have no idea. I'm going to pick Kansas City, but like I'm not betting this game. I'll end up betting this game because
of course,
what we talked about, but I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, me and Ken were talking about the same thing. What about like a teaser here, Pittsburgh plus 8.5?
No. I don't want it. Just keep me away.
What about over 44?
No, keep me away. I have no idea.
I like your style. I admitted the same thing. I got picks for all the games except the Seattle game. I'm like, Atlanta wins, but I can't tell you guys it's smart to lay 5 points.
KC has been bad as a at home against the spread. Against Oakland, they're great.
But Andy Reid, those dominant off
the bye. Yeah. 20-3 straight up?
Yeah.
And very good against the spread as well. Been bad on the road. Been banged up. Bell got the day
but
off.
You got Le'Veon Bell, though.
It's true, and Derek Johnson not being around really kind of kills the run defense. So this game can go either way. I just don't feel strongly about either side. So when the game's essentially a pick 'em, it's not so good.
All right, so it leads us into the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Interesting scenario here. We talked about this off the top. A lot of the public likes the Green Bay Packers, but the line really isn't moving here, which really surprises me. And similar to a situation as we saw the books in the Las Vegas sportsbooks casinos say that the Clemson win and going over killed them.
Of course it did. I didn't talk to a single person who took Alabama all week.
I got to imagine, Pat, that a Packers plus 4.5 over 52 plus 180 on the money line, it's not going to be a good result for the Green Bay Packers. I haven't heard one guy who's saying, I'm running to the window, out of my way. Cowboys are going to kill these guys. Nobody's saying this.
So here are the two ways that I would play this, and I think that it depends on your personal preference. If I'm going to bet the Packers, I'm going to bet money line, and I'm going to parlay that with the over, because if the Packers win, they're scoring a ton of points here. And Dallas can gradually catch up as the game goes along. Because
Packers have scored 30 or more 5 straight times.
Yeah, it's like if...
Dallas Cowboys, though, Pat, they put up a lot of points at home. They average like 28 points, 29 points at home.
They do, but they're still a very slow, and when they score...
They're more deliberate, yeah.
They take their time, especially against the Packers. They're going to want to take time off the clock. They're going to take possessions away from Aaron Rodgers. So if you bet Dallas, I'd parlay it with the under.
Really? Yeah, so you're seeing a correlated. Yeah. So correlated.
I would say
if Green Bay wins or covers, you think it's a higher scoring game. Dallas could go lower.
So even if you wanted to tease it, so you could tease what? You could tease the Packers.
Up to 11.5.
Up to 11.5 and tease the under down to 46. Or over down to
45 even. 7 points.
Down to 45. So I think that's probably the way that you want to play this game if you want to go with the Packers.
I think there will be points. What about Jordy Nelson's absence? Is this...
Here's the thing.
He wasn't there last week. He got knocked out early, and they were fine. But
Dallas's pass defense isn't very good.
Is Randall Cobb scoring 3 touchdowns this week?
He might, because Dallas is brutal against these slot guys. Crowder looked them up all year. Who's the loser in Tampa Bay? Adam Humphries scored the touchdown on them. Jordan Matthews scored the touchdown on them.
Poor A-Rab.
Eli
Rodgers. Earlier in the week, we were mocking the Bucs. Hey, who's that loser on the Bucs?
Eli Rodgers scored a touchdown on them. So slot guys have just beaten up on Dallas all season long. So I would expect, I would actually kind of prefer Jordy, if Jordy was there, like for a fantasy perspective or a props perspective.
Well, Allison might be, Allison.
Smoking the dank.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, he got busted for pot back in September. There's a chance he might be suspended.
Oh, really? What, his hearing's coming up?
Apparently
so. Great timing, Goodell. Really?
So if that happens, play Jeff Janis at the minimum price on DraftKings all day long. For where it stands right now, you'd think that they spend most of their time taking away Devontae Adams, make Randall Cobb beat you, make Jared Cook beat you, and that's the way they're going to play it. Fortunately, when you have Aaron Rodgers, they can beat you.
That's what I was going to say. If Tyrod Taylor or whatever, if it's an average quarterback back there, then you got a problem. But you got Aaron Rodgers
throwing Hail Marys that are 90% accurate.
Yeah, like the ball is just sort of, he's almost like, you or I. And he's like, he just say, don't worry. The ball's going to be right there.
You just go stand there.
He goes, just put your hands up right in front of your face and catch the ball. I won't throw too hard. Like, he just guides these guys to it. And a magician right now, Pat, and buying time. He rolls out, he buys time, and even the Jeff Janises of the world can get open if you got 12 seconds.
It's true. I saw Pat Thorman from Pro Football Focus released a complete list of like the quarterbacks who took the most time to throw.
Well, interesting. How much time did they buy? Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers.
And Brady's like 1.7, quickest.
Brady's just in and out, in and out.
Brady would rather throw it out of bounds than take a hit. But so, Rodgers is the longest?
Rodgers is like 3.68 seconds per dropback on his throws. Then it's like Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, this running quarterback.
Yeah, because, yeah.
You know, some of those dropbacks turn into runs, and boom,
exactly.
You're good to go. But Rodgers just buys the right amount of time, and he's not running anymore. He's literally buying time back there, just running in circles.
And you know, too, when Rodgers buys time, and it's like that 6-7 seconds, and then you see him heave it.
You know, you, the guy's open.
You automatically think.
The camera
think,
moves,
yeah,
the guy's standing there all
alone. No, me too. I automatically think that. I'm like, oh, he sees somebody. Because that's why he's throwing it now, because he just won't throw it away. He hates throwing it away, man. He hates throwing it away. Very intriguing football game here, Pat, but I can't lay 4.5 points with the Dallas Cowboys.
No, I mean, I could be talked into that. Like, I have a bad feel for the game either way, because I think these teams are very close. Like I said, two different styles. So the way I would play it is that tease. I'd tease up Green Bay, tease the over down, and take those. And that gives you basically what you'd have to bet on the spread anyway.
So you know the last 3 years, the top seed in the AFC and the NFC have made the Super Bowl.
Really, the one seeds?
Yeah, it hasn't happened, though. It never happened 4 years in a row.
So that's a weird thing. Dallas seems like...
Dallas versus... You know, Dallas is not going to the Super Bowl.
Is it weird that we're talking down Dallas after how good they've been all season long?
Probably.
Like, they've only really lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
They lost to the Eagles in a
meaningless
game.
That didn't count. So yeah, technically they're 13-3. Dak Prescott... First playoff game, he's met every mental challenge, right? Like he's...
Do we see Romo? Because things are going bad if we see Romo.
No, the only way we see Romo is if Prescott gets hurt.
Do we see more Romo or more Garoppolo?
Yeah. Well, that's... Neither.
I think we'll see Garoppolo at some point.
That's a good point. Actually, you know what? It's a good point.
Can you bet like over 2 passing yards like on Garoppolo?
That. You're going to take Garoppolo. 2 garbage time touchdowns are going to come in when it's 35. You're going to rack it up a little bit. It's a good point, actually. I didn't think about the score being in the other end.
Watch this game be close.
I know.
What's the money line on the Texans?
I want to talk myself into that. You know what? That defense, they can hang around.
9-1. That's still too little.
Nah, you got to be, you know, you got to give us 25-1.
Yeah. Even then.
No, like really, like for me to make a bet like that, Morency, I'll give you, you know, X amount of dollars, but the Texans need to win outright. If you told me I'll give you 9-1, I'm like, no. Like, why would I do that? Like, there's no value. I hate that, Pat. I'm sure you're the same way. Oh, it's a value pick.
It's not a value. It's a bad pick.
When people are like, oh, you get a crappy golfer, oh, he sucks, but oh, I can't refuse at 125-1.
Yeah, but there's probably a reason he's 125.
Yeah, you're not getting the money back because it was a value pick. Oh, you know what? It was a cute pick, guys, so we're going to give you half the money back since you went for that value pick. Like, there ain't no value picks. The value pick is who won. There's your value pick. All right, we got to get out of here, Pat. Good to have you back. We'll come back with our DK lineup of the week. To our DraftKings lineup of the week, and I'm fired up this weekend. Guys, let's try to end the season on a positive note and with a nice, big, fat paycheck on the way out. Let's start off at the quarterback position. Everyone's talking about Matt Ryan. Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Nobody's talking about my boy Dak Prescott, and I'm as guilty as anybody. I've left him on the table too many times this year, and I'm looking at this football game, and even though I like the Packers plus the 4.5 points, it's the highest total of the weekend, expected to be the highest scoring game of the weekend, and we have a quarterback who's on the team that's favored by 4.5 points. Yeah, I know they're going to run the football, but nevertheless, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to score. Dak Prescott's going to be forced to throw the football. He might be forced to scramble a little bit. I'm not passing it up. $6,000, Dak Prescott will be my quarterback. I don't really want a lot of exposure to the Houston Texans, but if there's one guy that I will expose myself to, it's Lamar Miller. I'm not a huge Lamar Miller guy for the most part, but this weekend I think he's in a good spot for $5,600. He's got touchdowns in 3 consecutive football games. They're going to want to run the football. Even if they're getting blasted, he's still going to get touches out of the backfield, a couple of catches. You know, I like Lamar Miller. He should be able to give us at least a triple value. We're going to spend a little money on Le'Veon Bell. I know, $10,500, but we got a couple of value picks to balance this out. If we're going to spend money, and we talk about this, you don't really want to do it on the quarterback position. There's not that much of a discrepancy between quarterback pointage, point totals when it's all said and done. Le'Veon Bell, he's just a monster, man. You know, road, home, I don't care. And everyone talks about the dichotomy and the splits, but I don't care. Le'Veon Bell, I'm not passing up 28.5 DK points per game. Julio Jones. Julio Jones lit up Richard Sherman. They line him up all over the place as well. So he gets open, and he's a big-game player. It's not like he disappears. I expect a similar situation. Now, Matt Ryan does spray the ball around the field a lot, and, you know, you're never really sure who's going to score that touchdown when it comes to Atlanta. Yet, nevertheless, this will be a higher-scoring game as well. Atlanta's offense is unstoppable. They're going to put up 35 points. The question is, what does Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks do? But Julio Jones, he's a powerhouse. I'm taking my shot, 8,400. Here's where we get into some value picks. Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams, $3,100. Guys that don't even play are $3,100. There's going to be some points in this game, guys. We saw last week. Everyone's talking about Shepard. Everyone's talking about Beckham. It was Tavares King that ended up scoring the touchdown, right? Playoff games, weird things happen. The other teams key in on the opposing teams as stars. You know, Terrence Williams, $3,100, man. I think he's a nice value pick here. Tyreek Hill, $5,500. The guy's going to score a touchdown, all right? Will he score two touchdowns? I don't know. But at $5,500, I think there's some value there with Tyreek Hill. Speaking of value, Jared Cook. With the Jordy Nelson situation the way it is, Aaron Rodgers got to throw the football to somebody. Cook's been targeted like at least eight times in three, four consecutive football games. He's getting looked at. And the Cowboys aren't very good against tight ends from a fantasy perspective yet. I kind of throw that stuff out when it's the playoffs. It's anything can happen, guys. You know, it's the playoffs. It's a different element. Jeremy Maclin. Jeremy Maclin screwed me. I had him on like two season-long teams. But with that being stated, there's going to be some points put up on the board here. We have a number 1/1A wide receiver at $4,300. I got to take my shot. And the Atlanta Falcons, my boy Vic Beasley, a couple of sacks. The Lions sacked Wilson three times last week, all right? And the Lions sucked. The Lions had the second least sacks in the NFL. The Falcons have the leading sack getter in the NFL. Give me the Falcons defense. It's cheap, too. May the winners be yours, guys.